hand now, please, and turn to Paul's letter to the Colossians, the letter that we were in last Lord's Day. Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're going to consider words that we find in the first chapter and in verse 27. Colossians 1 and verse 27, and we read there, to them, that's to the saints, as he speaks of in verse 26, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to begin with some words that I'm sure are known to most, if not all of us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Now, at the beginning of the year, I think all of us ask, what exactly is our lot, and what is it that may come to pass in the days that lie ahead? And one of the things that I think is good for us, in light of the words that I've quoted, is to ask ourselves, is your lot at the beginning of the year peace like a river that's attending your way? Or is it perhaps the opposite, and it is that you're knowing of great billows rolling in your life, even in these early days of 2022? I'm sure that for all of us, that our place at times has been either at one of these extremes of peace peace within our soul, or it is that we felt that we were in the middle of a storm, or maybe it lies somewhere in between these two extremes, and that's where we find ourselves today. And no doubt I think it is that if we were to graph this, as it were, in terms of a U-shape, that over the coming year, with the two extremes, that you'll find yourself at some gradation, and the gradation will change throughout the coming year, and sometimes it will be closer to the fact that you feel peace within your soul. Other times it will be the case that you feel as though you're in the midst of great difficulties and great billows rolling over you. If that's the case, listen to something of the experience out of which the words of this hymn were born. It is that the hymn was composed by a gentleman called Horatius Spafford, and he was a prominent American lawyer, and he was also a Presbyterian church elder. And the hymn was written after very traumatic events in Spafford's life. First two of these events were, one, the death of his four-year-old son. Then it was the case that there was the Great Fire of Chicago in 1871. He had been a successful lawyer, and the Great Fire of Chicago ruined him financially because he had invested significantly in various parts of the city where it was that this fire had taken place. Then in 1873, it is that his business interests took another hit by the economic downturn that took place in 1873. And it seems at that time that he had planned to travel to England with his wife and his daughters on a ship called the SS Ville du Havre. And there was a late change of plan, as so often happens, and it was that he sent his family ahead of him because he was delayed in business concerning events that stemmed from the fire that had taken place 2 years earlier. And it seems that while his wife and his daughters were crossing the Atlantic Ocean, that they were in collision with another ship. The ship they were on sank very suddenly, and it is that all four of Spafford's daughters died. The only one who remained living, he was his wife. And shortly afterwards, it seems that Spafford was traveling across the Atlantic on another ship to meet his grieving wife, and he was inspired to write these words, "It is well with my soul," and all that's connected with them, as his ship passed near the point where it is that his daughters had died in the sinking of their ship. And it was there that he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." And the question that I think it's appropriate for us to ask at the beginning of 2022 today is this: can you say that today? It is well with my soul. Is it something that you and I will be able to say every day of 2022? You ask me perhaps, how? How is it the case? Even already in the first 2 days, it is there are things that have transpired that have upset my soul, and I'm saying that my soul is not at rest. Well, if that's the case, I think it is that the text that we've got this morning, that it provides us with a foundation and a motivation so that every day, not only will we be able to say that it's well with our soul, but it's something that we might know of as a living reality in our lives. And so let's look at these words of verse 27. It is that Paul writes to the saints, and he says, to the saints, God has chosen to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What's the first thing that we can say? Well, it is that Paul speaks here about a mystery. It is that authentic Christianity is an inexplicable mystery to many people. It is that there would be many who would see us coming to the Lord's house this morning and doing and saying things concerning what it means to be a believer, and it's something that's mysterious to them. And the reason that it's mysterious is because in a very real sense, the person of Christ, he himself is a mystery. Because of our personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, on that basis, we are a mystery even to the world in which we live. It is that those who do not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they cannot be expected to understand the true Christian until it is that they themselves have come to know of the mystery of the gospel that is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. One of the writers that I was reading this past week, he put it like this, and let me quote, "A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven in the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strong when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge." And when it is that you consider that quote, it certainly reveals something of the nature of the mystery of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And it is therefore that as Paul uses this word, Paul is saying to us that Christians are not only different, but it is that they are meant to be different, and it is that we are meant to be seen to be different in the midst of the day and age in which God has placed us. Now, when it is that we come across this word mystery, and you perhaps notice in Ephesians chapter 3 that at least three times there within the first eight verses, it is that Paul uses this word. Whatever the word is used in the New Testament, it's not used with the understanding that we have of the word mystery today. We can think, say, of a mystery novel of one sort or another. But in the context of a scripture, it is that the word was used with another understanding. It's not the first time Paul uses the word in Colossians. If you go to verse 2 of chapter 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 3, he speaks about a God opening to him a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. In his letters elsewhere, it is that he uses this word. In 1 Timothy 3:16, he talks about the mystery of godliness. In Romans 11:25, he speaks about the mystery of Israel's blindness and future restoration. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, he speaks about the mystery of the resurrection. He writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So it is that when you and I normally use the word mystery, we're speaking about something that is inscrutable and secret. But when it is that the scripture writers use the word mystery, it is that they're describing an aspect of the Christian faith that was previously hidden by God, but which has now been revealed to his people through God's supernatural guidance of the apostles and the prophets. It is that this guidance included new insights into Old Testament passages and new information as the New Testament books were written. Think on it. Moses received more insight than Abraham. David received additions to what Moses understood. Christians have been given more than Old Testament believers. And it is that these details were revealed graciously. What do I mean by that? Well, it's this, that God shared his secrets with the most surprising people of all. Think on it. He shared his secrets with Abraham, who was an idolater. He shared his secrets with Moses, who was a murderer and a failure in rescuing his people. Think about David, who was on the run for many years. The apostles themselves were unimportant socially. They were of no consequence or influence in the midst of the world in which they lived. Think of the great apostle himself and how malicious he was in intent and attitude towards the person of Christ and the gospel. And then in case we think that it doesn't apply to us, think of the very fact that you're in God's house here or online, and it is that you rejoice in a crucified and risen Lord, because it is that God in his mercy and grace has shared the mystery of the gospel with you and has enabled you to understand and to apprehend the mystery of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it's only a God of grace who would have done it in this way. And think of it in the way in which God guaranteed the details of this mystery. Abraham's guaranteed a seed. Moses is guaranteed deliverance from the power of Egypt. It is that David, though he's opposed by many, was assured that the Messiah, he would be his descendant. The disciples of Jesus were assured that they would be used to take his gospel to the whole world. And then Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, he includes a reference to God's revealed secrets concerning the gospel age. And it results in this wonderful doxology at the end of Romans 16 from verse 25. Listen to what he writes. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, Paul is saying to us that when you gather in Christ's name, it is that you praise God for revealing these truths to you about Jesus, and indeed for sharing the riches of his mercy and his grace with people as we are. It's something I think that the temptation for us today is that we take it for granted. And it is that we just take it as given that men and women would come to faith in Christ. And in a sense, that's true. But what happens when it is that an individual is born from above, it is that the secrets of the gospel and the secret of the person of Christ, it no longer is a secret to them, and they understand something of the nature of salvation and what Christ has done for them. And so in a very real sense, when we gather on the Lord's Day, it's a mystery. It's a mystery why we, out of all the peoples of the world, why it is that we should gather in the name of a crucified and risen Lord. And it's that which makes coming to church and being part of the worshiping people of God something that's glorious. Because as we are a mystery even to ourselves as Christians, it is that we are declaring that God, he himself, he has explained that mystery through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is something that I think that we need to, even in 2022, seek, as it were, to once again grasp hold of, and that we might be encouraged and excited that it is that the mystery is proclaimed in the good news. So that's the first thing we can say, the nature of the mystery and what it means. Second thing is, I think we have here in verse 27, the means. And when I say the means, the way in which it is that this mystery is made known and experienced. What are the means that God uses to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery? What is the content of this mystery? Well, it's this: Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. The pronoun that's used here when it is that you read Christ in you, it's in the plural, and it's caused some translators to ask whether in, as we have it here, Christ in you, whether it's the appropriate English word to describe the nearness of the Messiah. And it is that there are those who would suggest that a better translation is the word among. Rather than Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ among you, the hope of glory. But even if it is that you take it as a mung, it indicates a nearness. And it's sufficient, I think, to note that there is both a personal and a congregational emphasis that's being expressed here. Now, there are those who might perhaps say to us today, well, since the Son of God is omnipresent, what's so surprising about Christ being in his people? Why are you getting so excited about it? Well, Paul's, as he writes here, he's not referring to that omnipresence which is real in all people, wherever and whoever they are. But what he's referring to is the way that Jesus comes to particular individuals by the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that they get a lesser Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, as the gospel is applied to their hardened minds, he functions like a bridge or a ladder that spans the gap between Jesus in heaven and his people on earth and enables us to interact with Jesus. So in what ways does Jesus reveal himself to his people? What does it mean for you to be able to say that Christ is in you? Surely the first thing is he's with you as your Savior. Simple as that. That as you go through 2022, it is that you have the Savior of sinners living alive and well by his Spirit within your heart and mind. That it is that this Savior who came to you as the crucified Christ and showed you something of his sufferings on your behalf, that it is that he is always present in this manner, and that every single one of his people are delighted that he is with them. It is that increasingly this year, we should love more and more to look upon him, the one who has been pierced. That it is that we might daily and increasingly be reminded of the reality of our salvation, that we are different, that it is that we're different because Christ is in us. And yet at the same time, recognizing him in this manner, that it leads us to repent of our sins as we continually behold the cost of our deliverance. In other words, anything short of the person and work of Jesus Christ will leave you short of salvation. Anything short of the work and the person of Jesus Christ in 2022 will leave you with a sense of a hopelessness and despair. It is only in Christ and Christ in you that you can face whatever it is that the days ahead hold for you as those who are able to stand and stand firm in the calling that is ours. It is that this year we have to reach Christ, we have to touch Christ, and it is that nothing short of this will save us. Because Jesus gives us himself. Because it is as he gives us himself to have Christ is to have eternal life. He is your life today. Do you believe that? Was it something that became more acute throughout 2021? Or is it something that you need to be reminded of for 2022? That he is your life? Therefore, if it is that he is your life, it's saying to you that you cannot do without Jesus. You cannot do without Jesus. I can't do without him. You can't do without him. Because it is Christ in you or within you that gives us the riches of glory. So he's with us as Savior. Secondly, he's with us as our sibling. He's our elder brother. He reminds us that himself and ourselves that we belong to the same family. We realize that he is the one who enables us to have fellowship with our Father in heaven, and it is he alone who gives to us the right to all the privileges of the sons and daughters of God, and it is this Father in heaven who comforts us daily with his provisions. Think of what Jesus said as he spoke, as he preached to the people. He says, who amongst you who's a father would give his son a scorpion or a stone? I mean, really, even we might say the most corrupt of earthly fathers, when it is that it comes to their children, it is that they take care of them, they provide for them. Jesus says, well, if that's the case with sinful fathers, how much more is it the case with your Father in heaven, that he will give good things to you? And do you go through the day acknowledging that Christ is your elder brother? I think I've used it before, but it's worth using again. How often in school, perhaps, maybe you were getting bullied by someone, and it is that it came to the point where you said to them, I'm going to tell my brother about you. And it is that they said, who's your brother? And you told them who your brother was, and at that, their faces began to sort of go white, and it is that they left you alone, because they knew that your elder brother, that he would deal with you in a way that you wouldn't want them to deal with you. It's the same for us as God's people. When it is that we're assaulted by the evil one, we have an elder brother and one who has promised us that he'll not leave us nor forsake us. Jesus, thirdly, is the heir of all things. The future belongs to him, but he doesn't intend to keep it merely to himself. The new heavens and the new earth are the inheritance, but he will share it with us as his fellow heirs. And he delights to point out to us the many promises in his word that deal with this aspect of his presence, that everything that is his is ours. And it is, therefore, that the mind of Christ is formed in the soul. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, you as a believer should be thinking as Christ does. And if it is that you're thinking as Christ does, then it is that you're someone who's of a sound mind. Listen to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. No wonder Spafford was able to write, even as a ship sailed by the spot where it is that his four daughters were drowned. No wonder he was able to write, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Why? Because he was one who had the sound mind of a crucified and risen Lord. And it is that he had that Christ-like perspective, that even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though it seems that everything is going from bad to worse in the experience of my loved ones, in my life, it is that I believe that he does all things well, therefore it is well with my soul. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. It's not. There are things that may happen to us in the year to come, and it is that we come to the point where we really feel as though we're about to break and crack in two. But oh, how good to know that we have a Savior who has promised us that he will not leave us, that he will not forsake us, that even in the midst of the vicissitudes of this life, that Christ is with us and in us, and that this Christ, as Paul says, is the hope of glory. Even if it seems that everything at the moment is unglorious, if I could put it like that, but that everything that is ours in Christ is glorious. And if it's to be well with your soul in 2022, and if it is that you have the mind of Christ, then there must be certain things that follow. It is that with the mind of Christ, you have to see sin as abominable. Did you see that in 2021? Or is it the case that that really began to become less and less of a concern? One of the greatest things that we could do in 2022 is to grow in an understanding of the abominable nature of sin and what it is that sin has done to us and what it meant for Christ. But on the other hand, so that we don't end up in the pit of despair, with the mind of Christ, we also ought to consider the glory of the gospel and the completeness of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, that we have one who is able to cry from the cross, it is finished. Everything that we need has all been done, and it's there for us. What about the world and its vanity? If we have the mind of Christ, We perceive the world differently, or we should. And again, maybe in 2021, that wasn't the case, that the world was more appealing than perhaps it had ever been. If it is that we would say that we are amongst those who have Christ in us, the hope of glory, then one of the things that must be happening is that the world is appealing less and less and less. And that more and more what's appealing to us is the thought of heaven. I would urge you in 2022 to often take time to think about heaven, to often take time to think about what it is that heaven means for you, to often take time to consider how it is it will be with you in heaven, that in the midst of some perhaps horrendous difficulties, to know that when you're in heaven, that the former things have passed away. And so then you would see eternity as Christ himself sees eternity. And it is that this Christ would be the one through whose eyes you consider the days that God is giving to you and what God is allowing to come into your life even in these days. Am I speaking to someone today? And in some ways you're glad 2021 is by. Wasn't a good year. COVID, bad news, problems in the family, problems in your marriage, problems with regard to your health, problems at your work, maybe now that you've got no work. But it is that you're just thankful that 2021 is past, that it's gone. And you're looking forward to 2022. Well, the only way that you can really look forward to 2022 is to count yourself as one who says, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I remember it would be 2020. Excuse me, at the end of 2020, there were a lot of people in the TV, news people and others, and all they were longing for was 2021. And the reason they were saying they were longing for 2021 was because it would be so much better than 2020. COVID would be gone and everything would be good and everything in the garden would be well. Wow, didn't they get it wrong? Really? And who knows what the year ahead has for us? But we can face whatever the year ahead in God's providence has for us when it is that we know of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that brings me on to the third and final point. In these words, Paul speaks about a mystery. He speaks about a means. And then thirdly, he speaks about and uses what's called a metonymy. I used it to get the M's, okay. A metonymy. Now, what's a metonymy? Well, let me give you a definition. A metonymy is a figure of speech that consists of the use of the name of one object or concept for that or another to which it is related or of which it is a part. You're saying, what? I don't understand it. Well, maybe this will help. In other words, say you're going to speak about sovereignty. You use the term scepter. Say you're going to use the term scepter, you're speaking about sovereignty. Say you're using the term bottle, he's on the bottle. What you're saying is that they're drinking strong drink. Say you're going to use the phrase, I'm counting heads. You're using that phrase as a metonymy for counting people. And the reason that I chose this, because I think that what Paul gives us here is a spiritual metonymy. And it is that he's saying, and that metonymy is in that phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or if it is that you take the hope of glory, that means that Christ is in you. And Paul is saying to us that the indwelling Christ is the ground for the expectation of glory, both now and in the future. That the wealth of glory that is available to us as God's people is this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. And that's why it is that we are a mystery even to the people of our day. And Christ alone, therefore, is our foundation for the blessed hope of the future that is ours, or as we might term it, as eschatological glory, glory that will be revealed to its fullest in that day when Christ returns. And the fact that you and I now have Christ in us, that itself is the pledge of the final glory that will be revealed when Christ returns. In other words, the glory to its fullest and greatest degree in expression is yet future. And it is that you and I have this glorious hope that we will share in the yet future full manifestation of the glory that is Christ's. Listen to Paul in Colossians 3 and 4. He says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Let me say it again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory. Glory. Does that not take your breath away? Does that not make you just shout, "Amen, hallelujah"? That is what is going to be. How sad that when Christ offers all these glorious benefits, why is it in the world that there are so many, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, who can come to God's house Lord's Day by Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and they can walk out totally unaffected? And it is that they would rather go to some New Age movement, they would rather go to some cult, they would rather seek the most recent religious fad, rather than turning to the one who himself is glory and will allow them to have his glory revealed in them. You see, if you know him as your Savior and Lord, he wants to settle down. He wants to make himself permanently at home in your heart. It is that Christ wants to dwell fixedly by his Spirit within your life. And he wants to settle down and feel completely at home as a permanent dwelling place in your heart. So let me conclude with some questions then. In 2022, will you make Christ feel at home? Will you make Christ feel at home in your life? Is it something that will concern you? In 2022, if you haven't already, will you invite Christ into your heart as a permanent resident, asking that Christ might be in you the hope of glory? And then for those of us who are the Lord's people, in 2022, will Christ feel comfortable in your heart? Will it be the case that knowing that you have Christ by His Spirit in you, that you will be conformed to an ever greater degree and extent in 2022 to the person and the glory of Christ? Or will it be the case in 2022 that there will be two masters trying to be sovereign in your life? That there will be Christ, but there will be the world and the things of the world. But if it is that you know of the glory that's coming, surely it will be that much easier to allow Christ to be the only ruler in your heart. So how then is it with us? Let's pray that not just on this first Lord's Day of 2022, but in every day, as I've said, maybe it's because it can sound something that you would rather not think about. But I've got to be honest, yesterday at one point, I was thinking, well, will this be the year that I'll be taken from this world? I ask it every year, and so far it's not been the case. But if it is the case for any of us that this is the year that God takes us from this scene of time, oh, be encouraged. Be encouraged and remind yourself daily that God has made a mystery known to you. And the mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank you that at the beginning of another year, that we are able to remind ourselves of the future that will be ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you, your word tells us that when we see him, we shall be like him. And in a sense, while we understand it intellectually, what it will involve is something that is far beyond us in this scene of time. It is, O Lord, that for some of us, even the first few days of this new year, we feel as though it's an old year already. For it is the same thought patterns, the same habits, the same things that pull us down are already at work within our lives. But we pray, Lord, that even as we have come under the sound and the authority of your word today, that you might apply that word to us, and that each day that we might be able to rejoice and yet also able to function in the way that is most appropriate for us as your people, by being able to say and to know the truth that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So, Lord, go with us through the remainder of the day. Keep us safe as we travel with the snow and the roads. And if it be your will, gather us again this evening for the praise and worship of your name. These things we ask with the forgiveness of sin in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.